Silver's a prophetic intercessor. Find out more about the lifestyle that comes with this mantle. Hello, welcome to the second episode of Rivers of Prophesying. Today we are looking at open your gates that the King of Glory may come in. First let's just pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing us together this time of learning. Open our minds and we receive all that you want us to learn. Give us teachable hearts and minds that we may keep going forward onto your path, not looking to the left or to the right. Just moving forward with you, Lord Jesus, following your lead. That you may plant in us all that you want to plant in us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So we're looking at being gatekeepers today. We're looking at, as watchmen and watchwomen, being on duty. Having to ask anyone who approaches the gate, who are you? What are your intentions? If you're not Jesus, keep out. We are holy ground. We are holy soil, fertile soil, pure soil. We are to keep our soil free from rocks or weeds, fasting, putting all that on the altar to be set on holy fire. So any weeds need to be set on fire. So by weeds I mean things like greed, things like doubt, any what ifs can be set on fire just through praying in tongues. Any vain imaginations can be set on fire through praying in tongues. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. Just ask it to rise up, overflow, overtake, overthrow, pray in tongue, and all these things will be overtaken and burnt off. You know, grudges, for example, they're also fuel for the Holy Spirit. They're actually a beam from the cross. Jesus spoke of someone having a beam in their eye when they saw the speck in somebody else's eye. But it's actually a beam of the cross that Jesus took on. So it's large enough to carry Jesus. But it's not for us to carry. It's not for us to have this in us. It is fuel for the Holy Spirit fire. And so, yeah, and as being part of the load of that Jesus took on, he took these things on because they were dangerous for us. They were destructive for us. Whereas for him, being holy, being full of all the things that we're not full of, that meant nothing for him. That was light, really light to take on. Whereas us being where we're at, they think this thing would just overtake us and enab us. So what are we to do if we holy ground, if we are God's garden? We need to tend it, be watchful, mindful, and catching thoughts captive, bringing all vain imaginations through praying in tongues, as I said earlier. Because the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit which hovered over the creation, which Jesus has left us, living in us, the same Holy Spirit of resurrection power that took him out of the tomb lives in us. So we're not powerless in our ceaseless praying. I mean, you can have the Jesus prayer running in your head all day long, all you want. At some point, you reach a point where it will not be enough, where the praying in tongues will have to kick in and overtake. The Garden of Eden was gated, and the Lord posted angels at its gates when the fall happened. The Israelites built fortified cities. Watchmen were on duty, like the angels who had been set on duty at the entrance of the Garden of Eden after the fall. So here you've got the notion that anyone approaching the gates have to have their motives inspected. They need to be asked what the motives are, why they're approaching the gates. And basically, if they're not Jesus, they need to stay out. It's as simple as that. Only Jesus can be let through our gates into our garden. We're not going to let anyone else in, or anything else in, if not other than the Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God and the Holy Trinity. Because we are keepers of Jesus' presence in us and God's presence in us and the glory cloud. By extension, we need to get those gates consecrated, marked. As when Passover happened, when they marked the gates to separate themselves from the Egyptians, so they would not be hit by the spirit of death. These gates, our gates, have to be consecrated as holy, as marked, as separated, as being holy ground, and only allowing Jesus or the Holy Trinity in, no more. So how do you do this consecration thing? Well, you need to get the resources, you need to get equipped for this. And I would say go and get Joshua Mills Power Portals and his audio opening the portals from his website at New One International. Because that consecration has to happen daily, if not twice daily, and the cleansing has to happen once a day, if not twice a day. The activations have to happen once a day, if not twice a day. The book contains the picture of which points to anoint, why you are meant to anoint them, and the scriptures to activate the portals. And then at the end of the book, you'll find the prayers to open the portals, as well as to provide you with things like a breaker anointing, opening the portals of breakthrough, opening the portals of victory, opening the portals of joy, opening portals of your children, and many more. So we are called anyway to be living lives of consecration as Christians. We are to stand and fight the good fight of faith on a daily basis as Christians, fighting against any spirit wanting to overtake our minds, our hearts, but also asking the Holy Spirit to guard our hearts, guard our minds, to give us the mind of Christ, to guard our eyes and our ears, because we have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, and we need to remain accurate in what we see and in what we speak into the earth realm and into what we hear from God. You don't want to hear from any other type of spirit. This is why, you know, the burning up has to happen at the point of before the point of consecration, really, because once you've done the cleaning up, that is when you're going to anoint to God, because the anointing works as a shield. It is also the mark of the holy place. Now, what are the things which could hinder the glory from entering your holy garden after that? Well, we've got somebody called Ruth Heflin who wrote about revival glory. And she says in her book, Revival Glory, over a period of time, we've learned that some of the things which most adversely affect the flow of the glory of God in our midst are these. Our desire to please people, our fear of appearing too simple to unlearned, our inability to count all our knowledge as dung, as Paul did, our desire to impress people with our education, skills and abilities and with who we are, our inability to unlearn what we have already learned, when God is attempting to lead us into new things, our inability to or unwillingness to lay aside tradition, our unwillingness to forgive others. So basically, the biggest obstacle to the Holy Presence and to the Holy Spirit having his way in us is ourselves, it's the flesh. So the flesh has to be crucified. The flesh has to be laid out for the Holy Spirit to set on fire and transform us. So that, you know, the laying out of the flesh, that comes to the point of fasting, offering ourselves as sacrifices for the Holy Spirit to set us on fire and transform us, so that then after that he can have his way and we can be transformed beings, holy beings, and so on and so forth. I could go on all day with this. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that you equip us on a daily basis. Thank you, Lord, that we are not powerless, but if we're willing to let go and let you, if we're willing to let you guide us and look where you want us to look, we can become holy places. We can become the holy garden again, the consecrated people, the consecrated places you've always intended us to be. Forgive our stubbornness, Lord. We put that on the altar as well. We're not interested in any hindrances in us and around us. We put them all on the altar, Lord. All of them. We put all our what ifs and our yeah buts on the altar, Lord. Take them, Holy Spirit, set them on fire in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you for listening to Rivers of Prophesying. Share my podcast with your family and friends.